Continuing on in Psalm 139, beginning with verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell with the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And from here, we'll hear from Jake McClung. He'll be speaking about that God protects us. He will light our way if we let him.
Good afternoon. Great to be here. Thank the congregation for giving me this opportunity I have to deliver a message from God's word. Hope the things I have to say are edifying and in accordance with God's will. God protects us. He will light our way if we let him. As was already read, I want to look at this in three different ways. I want to look at God's protection then, God's protection now, and God lighting our way. God does indeed protect us. And we can see the protection he has given us through the Bible. This afternoon, I want to look at a couple examples of God's protection that he gave certain individuals in the Bible. Then spend a little bit talking about how he protects us now, and then him lighting our path. Noah, the man who built the boat on dry ground. Today, most all ships are built right next to the ocean, so when they're done, they just shove it off and just hope it floats. Of course, you know, without a lot of preparation and planning, they didn't just push that out there. For those of you who know me, I am a plumber, so you can take that as whatever you want. But when we are given a set of blueprints, we are expected to follow the blueprints, and in the blueprints, gives us an idea of what it's supposed to look like when it's done. We have a set of blueprints right now that cost us over $50,000 to have made. Noah didn't have any pretty blueprints to look at and say, hey, this is supposed to go here and it's supposed to be this long. And he just knew how long it was going to be, how tall it was going to be, and what he was going to put on it. Somebody came to him and said, hey, you're going to build this boat. And it's going to be thus long, thus high, and it's going to save you and all your family and all these animals, because I'm going to destroy the earth with water. I guarantee you, if someone was to come up to us today and tell us that, we'd probably all thought they was crazy. But because Noah's faith in God, he was saved. He was protected. For over 100 years, he built this thing out in the middle of nowhere that nobody knew what it looked like. You know, I guarantee you all of us would have thought he was crazy. I know I would have. But after Noah was already in that ark and it began to rain, I guarantee you our perspective would have changed a little bit. But it was because of his faith that he was saved. Because of his faith, him and his family was saved. It's because of that faith we're here today. King David, the man after God's own heart, the man who was also a murderer and a fornicator, but yet had one of the greatest amounts of protection given to a single individual by God. As recorded in 1 Samuel 18:6 and 7, now it happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, meeting King Saul with tambourines and with joy and with musical instruments, so that the women sang and danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that a single man killed tens of thousands of people. He didn't have guns, he didn't have airplanes, and he didn't have tanks. It was all hand to hand. Tens of thousands of soldiers. And yet he never died by the hand of the sword. It's amazing to think about. For someone to go into battle, to lead all these men into battle, you kill tens of thousands of them, and then come home like it's no big deal. Of course, it was a big deal, but you know, what faith in knowing that he was going to go and he was going to come back, because he knew God was with him. Because the very first time we hear of David, he's getting ready to go to stand before a man who was over 9 feet tall. And he said, hey, I can do it, because I have faith in God that he's going to protect me. That is what this is all about. Our true protection from God is his word. It is his promises. It is the promise of eternal life. That is our protection. Read a couple of verses. Psalms 121, 7 through 8. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this day forth and even forevermore. Psalms 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In 1 Peter 3, 13. And who is he And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good? This right here is our protection. Within this book holds all the promises and keys to eternal life. It doesn't matter what happens to us here on earth, as long as we know and have faith that he is going to deliver us. We can walk out here today and all be killed. And as long as we have faith in knowing that we're doing what is right, and are abiding by the things in this book, we have the greatest protection of anybody. We have the protection of spending eternity with Christ. But obviously today, God just doesn't come out and say, hey, I'm going to protect you during this. I could walk out here in the street and I guarantee you, somebody probably hit me. You know, he's not going to say, you know, I'm going to go stand in front of the car before it hits you. Not to say that he doesn't have the power to do that. But his protection changed a little bit. A couple months ago, I was traveling down Interstate 35 southbound. About 6:30 in the morning, going to work, you know, piddling along, you know, not thinking about too much. And, you know, way up ahead, you know, I see somebody slamming their brakes on, you know. So I start slowing down, and they're getting closer and closer. And before you know it, he's coming to a complete stop in the left lane of I-35. My Cadillac was just a little bit bruised up after that. But you know, after thinking about that later on in the day, I was pretty lucky. Things could have gone a whole lot worse. You know, and I got to thinking about my personal life with God. If something would have happened, where would I have spent eternity? I sure hope I would have spent it with Christ. But you know, it just gives us a reminder of how short life really is. And it gets shorter and shorter every day. Every minute, every second that we live, it gets continually shorter. But as long as we have this, and abide by the things that are in this, we have God's protection. And this is his light. This is the way he's going to lead us. The very first verse that comes to mind when thinking about that is Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. But do we choose to follow that path? I want to show of hands of something. How many of the men here follow the directions when they get something new and it comes in the box? Okay, Doug, we'll excuse you. I thought that was always priest of fire starter or something, you know. At least I know this is the case with my grandparents, but when Grandpa doesn't follow directions, 99% of the time, Grandma's standing in the background saying, "Richard, I told you to read the directions." Not to say that that's happened very many times, but you know. But we do have a choice to follow the directions. This is our direction. Every day we're going to come to a fork in the road. We're going to either choose to go right or we're going to choose to go left. Which path are we going to follow? I got some statistics here. I can't say that word, but 75% of Americans identify themselves as religious. That's a pretty decent number. But in the United States alone, between 1973 and 2011, 54.5 million abortions have been committed in the U.S. alone between 1973 and 2011. There's 234 abortions per 1,000 live births. There is, on average, 1.2 million abortions a year, 3,288 abortions a day, 137 abortions an hour, 4 abortions every 9 minutes, and 1 abortion every 26 seconds. So in the time it took me to tell you that, someone in the United States has committed an abortion. But yet 75% of the United States identifies themselves as so-called religious. During the last presidential election, 3 states now allow the use of recreational marijuana usage. And in this year alone, the state of California now allows students to decide for themselves what gender they are. So a girl can play on a guy's football team, and a guy can play on a girl's volleyball team and use locker rooms and bathrooms, etc. And nobody can say a word. Which path are we going to choose? If we just followed the directions, we wouldn't have this problem. But we don't live in a perfect world. And we shouldn't become discouraged by the things that happen around us every day, but be encouraged that we get to test and show our faith. Nothing in this life that was ever worth having never came easy. That's what I've been told anyways. If we follow this, this is our guidance, and this is God's light unto our feet. And as David put it in Psalms, the 23rd chapter, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest thy head with oil. Thy cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How well did he put that? How many times do we see ourselves in that situation today. The world is a dark place. But this is our light. God didn't say He was going to have a 50 million watt, you know, light showing us the way. He has given us enough light for one day at a time. Each day, like I said, we're going to come to either deciding to go right or we're going to go left. There's going to be days we're going to decide the wrong path. But it all counts on how we get back on the path. You know, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to make mistakes. But it's because of God's great grace that He has given us an opportunity. We have the opportunity to go right and to go left. What path will you decide today? Leave you again with one more verse. Psalms 109, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. The Lord has given us His protection. And He has given us His light, which is His word. We just have to choose to follow it. If there are any today that are outside of Christ and wish to become part of His body and His church, no better time than the present. Because like I said, life is short and becomes shorter every second. Where will we spend eternity? Please come as we stand and sing.